Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I thank God for the grace, and I hope that God is keeping and watching over your life. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and we were able to conclude yesterday or the day before, where we looked at we being members of one body of Christ, different functions. And we have to understand there is an interdependence. God has created no individual to be self-sufficient, and that is because He has decided us to be a body that works hand in hand, that each having different functions, different gifts, but all being one. And this is the one thing that Jesus said, by this you shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So one of the greatest commandments of Christ, one of the greatest evidences of Christ of a transformed life is love. And this is one of the things that we are able to see and remains one of the core commandments of the new covenant. Remember when Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment, which is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, we're going to see the conclusion of chapter 12, and then we'll go into chapter 13 because they are closely interlinked. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read from verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed, or God has set this in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Now just before we take a pause there, we need to ask ourselves, why is it that God has appointed or God has set? And this is an area where I think I need to drop the point where we speak about the difference between being called and being set or being appointed. And the case in point we can use Jeremiah. The Bible tells us when God comes to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, it tells him, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So there was a point when Jeremiah was called, and Jeremiah was called and ordained, sanctified from his birth. That means that there was a calling over his life to be a prophet unto the nations. But then later on, when you go on and read that chapter, you'll find where he says, now today I set you over nations, over kings, over people. So there is a place where God gives you that mark that you are called for greatness, that you are called to do a purpose. But then there is a day that God now does, where you are appointed, where you are set, where you are commissioned for the work. And so in this, we are able to see that God has commissioned in the church, and there is an order to the church, and he says, first apostles. Now remember, apostles are an office. These are they that lead the church. They are the ones that have been given the grace to set the foundation of the church. They have the boundaries, they have the foundation, they set up the boundaries of the church, not only for now but also for the future. They are wise master builders. Wisdom is their forte. They have given the grace to do signs, miracles, and wonders. Beyond that, also they labor in new territory. So apostles are those that are sent. Now God has said he has appointed this in the church, first apostles. Remember, even when he established the church, he called the 12 to himself and designated them to be apostles, that he might send them. So it is apostles that are very necessary, and they are the foundation, or they are the ones that speak the truth in love, correct in love. They can write to churches, they can correct churches, They have given the grace to be able to set doctrine in order. And we see the classic examples of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We also see other apostles that are appointed by the Holy Spirit. We see those that came after the 12. We see Paul, that is called an apostle. We also see others, James, Silas, Junior. You know, all these are other called apostles. And then we see then those that are appointed by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. So the Bible says, now he has appointed first apostles, then second prophets. Now remember, we spoke about prophets. We say that this, it goes beyond just speaking about the future. This is about communicating the mind of God to a people. An easier way to look at it is preachers. Someone that is preaching is operating most of the time in the prophetic. Why? Because they have received a word from God and they are able to communicate it to you. So God has appointed first apostles, then second prophets, and then third teachers. Who are teachers? Teachers are those who are able to break down doctrine. They are able to establish the principles, the oracles. They are able to lay down in a way that is easily understood, that the people should be able to understand. Ideally, most of the time you'll find that apostles can both prophesy, they also can teach, and they also can do miracles, they also can heal. Now, basically, these are all gifts. Remember, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the profit of all. So he says after that, miracles. For me, it's a way of the Holy Spirit telling us that first of all, what we need is leadership, what we need is the foundations, what we need is a teaching, what we need is the mind of God, then miracles. So miracles are not the foundation, and you'll find someone having the gifts of healings and or the gifts of working of miracles and running to form ministries, yet they don't understand that first is the apostles, then the prophets, then the teaching. That means that if God has given you this grace, the question will be, are you able to be sent? Are you able to communicate the mind of God? And also, are you able to teach? So if you're able to do these three, then you can be able now to be effective in ministry. Now, beyond that, just we see that apart from miracles and gifts of healing, there is also helps. What are helps? Taking care of the poor, providing needs of others. This is a grace that God gives through resources, through, you know, the ministry of helps is the ministry of compassion. It's the ministry of those that are able to see the needs of others and to meet them. Then also administrations. It is very necessary to have administration, to have order. One thing that you will find that where there is no order, most of those ministries have never lasted. Some of the biggest challenges of ministries is just lack of discipline and order. Where there is order, where there is administration, then you are able to manage the gift of God. You're able to manage the move of God. Some of the greatest revivals have stopped because of lack of administration, but also some of the revivals that have stood the test of the time had very strong administration. Now, God might give the gift to someone to run the administration. It might not be the minister, but each of them are important for the success of the ministry. And then also varieties of tongues. Remember when we spoke about tongues, we say that tongues plus interpretation is equal to prophecy. And then Paul, verse 29, asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? All these are questions. He's trying to say that each and every one of us is built uniquely. Not all of us are able to do each of these gifts that are highlighted, but we must know that we are interdependent. God has ensured that we depend on one another as members of one body of Christ. But there's something that he concludes this chapter that moves us into the core of chapter 13. He says, but honestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, the scriptures are telling us that when it comes to gifts, God has given you the liberty to honestly desire the best gifts. That means that God is not limited. It is not a sin to desire gifts. It's not a sin to desire spiritual gifts. It's not a sin to long or to covet that the powerful working of gifts that are working in other men of God to work in your life. There is nothing wrong with that. And in fact, when you desire, it is actually one of the steps by which you can receive. You can desire the gifts. You can serve the men of God. You can ask God for it. You can study their pattern. You can study what is it that makes those men they are. What is it they know? What is their secret with God? What is the covenants they had with God that enables them to operate? Because anyone that is doing something mightily for God has a secret with God. They have a covenant with God. And by that covenant, they are able to be given the grace to do what they're doing. So it is very important to know that no one does anything supernaturally without having a covenant with God. God says himself that I established my covenant with David as a witness to the people that I gave him the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies that come by covenant and that God is able to establish. So he says, eagerly desire the best gifts or the greater gift, yet I will show you a more excellent way. So the question you ask yourself, what is this more excellent way? This more excellent way that goes above the giftings of men. First Corinthians chapter 13. And it says that though I speak, and here now we're seeing what is the most excellent way. So let us read what 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So, what is the most excellent way, or what is the way that is above the gifts, or what is the greatest gift? The greatest gift, the greatest commandment, the most excellent way is actually love. Remember, the scriptures tells us that God is love, and he that loves abides in God. And you cannot say that you love God and you hate your brother. You cannot say that you love the God that you don't see and you hate the brother that you can see. So love is foundation. Love is higher. Love is the best gift. And one of the greatest things that you can be asking God for is to give you love. You know, there are times someone goes like, oh God, I want miracles. Oh God, I want to do this. I want to teach. I want to be apostolic. I want to be evangelistic. I want to be prophetic. But if you're to just ask God to give you more love, then you're going to be most effective, because it is love that touches people above the gifts. It is love that breaks barriers. It is love that reaches out to those that are lost. It is love that does not judge men. You know, for example, it does. You know, at times you could be very gifted and look down on men, but it is love that is able to bring unity. It is love that is able to heal. I mean, think of the healings that Jesus did. The Bible says he was always moved with compassion. He was always moved with compassion for those that are lost. And as he was moved with compassion for them, then they were able to be restored. So let us see what are the comparison. He's saying that even though you speak with tongues of men and angels, but you do not have love. That means that someone is having the gift. He can speak with tongues. Oh, he can speak in tongues, not just of men, but also of angels. That means even when he speaks with tongues, he's able to command angels. He's able to bring manifestations. Yet, he lacks love. you'll find that these are powerful people who do not know how to deal with others. They will either abuse, they will box, they will do anything. But you see, love, it is love. Love is greater than the gift of tongues. It is greater than the gift of tongues of men and angels. That means that if you do all this without love, no matter how many 8 hours of prayer you've done, 500 hours, whatever stretch of prayers that you have done, but you still do not have the love for men. You still do not have the love to forgive your fellow man, the love to see the needs of others. Then the Bible calls us a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And he's saying, even if you can prophesy, that means that you are able to speak of the future. You are able to communicate the mind of God. You are able to tell us of things now and things to come. You can preach and you have understanding of all mysteries. You can imagine, you know all mysteries, all knowledge. You're smart, you're intelligent. And even though you have all faith, that means that you are so powerful, you can move mountains. Yeah? You know, you can speak to a mountain, be removed, and it goes away, yet you don't have love. You are nothing. Even though you decide to do all helps, give all your poor, gifts to the poor, goods to the poor, and you give your body to be burnt, you say, let me offer myself as a sacrifice, but yet do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love, love, love is the greatest gift. It's the greatest commandment, is the most excellent way. It's the only thing that remains. There's a song that I love hearing. It says that, you know, he went to the Father and he asked for more power. But you see, God told him that what you need is more love. It is more love that we need. It is a heart that is pained when others are struggling. It's a heart that forgives. It's a heart that looks at others not as fallen, but sees them in the eyes of God. It's a love that has compassion, that even though others are struggling, there is a time that they will come back to the light. Love is described as love suffers long, or rather, love is patient. Love is kind. Do we suffer long for others? And even as we read this description of love, we must ask ourselves and put our names there. Where it says love suffers long, can you say Emmanuel or say your name? Am I patient? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. It does not behave rudely. Do I behave rudely? Do I seek my own? Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. That means it is not easily angered. When in our interactions with others, are we easily angered? Love does not think of evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. That means we don't rejoice in sin. We abhor sin. And this does not mean that because you love someone, you allow them to sin or you allow them to do whatever they want. No, we don't rejoice in sin, but we rejoice with the truth. So it is love to correct. It is love to discipline. It is love to speak the truth in love. So love does not bear with sin. You don't give an excuse, I love them, so let them do whatever they want. No. Love also is firm. Verse 7, love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. I tell you, when God gives you his love, the love of God that is above all these giftings of men, these tools of men, you'll be able to bear up your brothers. You'll be able to bear up different challenges that will come. You'll be able to believe in Christ, you'll be able to hope for all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's the love of God that comforts us even when we are going through suffering, when we are going through mourning, when we've lost our fellow brothers and sisters, when we've lost our loved ones, it is the love of God that surpasses human understanding that is able to conquer. You see, love goes beyond, is not the same as lust. Lust is selfish. Lust wants to satisfy itself. Lust is always about now. But love is always from above. Love comes from God. The agape kind of love is the love that encompasses, that bears all things, that endures, that is patient, that is kind, that is not proud, that does not seek itself. It's not about me being first. It's about all of us succeeding. This is the kind of love that builds ministries. This is the kind of love that establishes ministers. That ministers grow in rank, not by gifts, but by love, but by their obedience, and but by their expression of love to one another. Indeed, when we need to reach out to others, how did we reach out to them? Was it in love or was it in pride? Was it in our own abilities, in our own confidence, or was it in humility, knowing that we are not better than the sinners. We are not better than others. We have just experienced the grace of God. Verse 8, love never fails. Now, this is a very important statement about love, that love stands the test of time. That means that all these things may fail. I mean, you can fail in prophecies. You can fail in healings. You can go to preach for someone and they don't receive it. You can speak of the future and it doesn't come to pass. You can have tongues and the tongues will be silent. You can have knowledge and it won't mean anything. The Bible tells us love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things aside. I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Scripture is very clear that, you know, if we think we know anything, we don't know. In fact, it's saying right now what we think we know, what we pride ourselves in knowledge. Remember, the Corinthian church were filled with all utterance and knowledge. They knew stuff. They knew the spiritual. They were gifted. They had all manner of giftings and utterances. But then they were divided in the church. They were fighting among one another. One was, you know, saying they follow Paul, the other Apollos. They were even not focused, realizing that they are one body. And so Paul has to drill to them that, yes, it's good that you're gifted. It is good that you're prophetic. It is good that you have knowledge. But you see, unless you have love, all this is nothing. All this is useless. Just know this, that if you have prophecies, they will come to an end. If you have wisdom, it will come to an end. If you have knowledge and understanding, it will come to an end. In fact, even what you think you know is just in a mirror. Now he's saying that maturity is marked by your love. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I talked like a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's not in the realm of competition when you are growing in maturity. When you are becoming a man in the things of the Spirit, then your heart broadens. And then you can easily forgive. When others are condemning, then your heart is opening up to restoration. Your heart is opening up to love. Why? Because, you know, this is the same journey that everyone goes. Not everyone is able to. The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, and each time he gets up, it takes maturity to be able to know that this is a righteous man that has fallen and is about to get up. And when the whole world is condemning them, you are lifting them up. Now that is love. That is maturity. That is a place where God has lifted you. We want to grow. We want to grow in the things of God. We don't need more power. I assure you, you don't need more miracles, signs, and wonders. Yes, they are important. They are good, yes. They have an effect of bringing people, of drawing the crowd, yes. But if you ask God for love, more love for the people, you'll find yourself praying for their salvation. You'll find yourself praying for their families. You'll find yourself praying for their children. You'll find yourself praying for the nations. You'll find yourself that there is a heart that God has given you to see the needs among others. And as you meet those needs, then those people are drawn towards God. And they are won to God. By this men shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Our greatest desire must be that we experience love, that we share love with our fellow man. And all you can do, I assure you, these three will remain: faith, hope, and love. These three abide. That means at the end of it all, when all these things have ended, when all these miracles have ended, when all these demonstrations have ended, some three things remain: faith, hope, and love. That means at the end of it all, we'll still have our faith in Christ. At the end of it all, we'll still have the hope of the resurrection. We'll still be hoping for what God will do. But at the greatest of them all is love. Love is the greatest gift. Even as you desire spiritual gifts, Paul is telling the Corinthian church and speaking us today, what is the status of our heart? How do we treat one another? Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we self-seeking? Are we ignoring the needs of others? Are we arrogant? Are we puffed up? If we stick with love, then we will be in the most excellent way, and we will be in the heart of God. Let us ask God to give us more grace. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word for today that you have spoken to us. You have shown us the most excellent way. Indeed, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. Your focus is not in the demonstrations of gifts that mature men, but it is in the expression of love, in the expression of the unity of the body, in the demonstration of faith, hope, and the greatest of them being love. I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding. Open our eyes to where we have failed to meet the needs of others, where we have failed to look at one another in guidance. I pray that you may help us to be mature in our thoughts, mature in our thinking, to be able to be established as the body of Christ, as members of one body, knowing that we are not all the same thing, but you have set us to do different functions. And as we do those different things in love, then we shall truly be your disciples. Forgive our failures and walk with us, O God. I pray for comfort to your children, healing to those that need it, that, Lord, walk with them, provision and open doors. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.